Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to the preface of Beer with Geeks, where we apologize for all the things that we do. I'm Tim.
And I'm sorry.
You are sorry. Frank, tell the people what you did.
There was a little mix-up with the microphones in this episode, so the audio will not sound as clear as it should. We were recording from the wrong microphone, unbeknownst to either of us, until the episode was over.
Yeah, you're going to hear a comment about me saying, you're making a weird face, and that's the moment where Frank realized he made a boo-boo.
I screwed up, so I apologize for the audio quality in this episode. Hopefully you will still enjoy it. Just a couple of guys having a couple beers and geeking out about their childhoods. But yeah, that's the stitch with this episode. So sorry for that in advance, but we hope you enjoy it nonetheless.
Bye.
Hi, and welcome to episode 007 of Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our ungeeky friends. I'm Tim.
And I'm M.
And today we'll be discussing 007, as you could probably just tell from the title of our episode, because we won't have another 007 episode for quite a long time.
Quite a long time.
About 1,000 episodes, I would say.
That's right.
And so I decided to do this in a British accent at the beginning, see how long I can keep it up. It's probably not going to last. I guarantee you it's going to slip in some kind of German or Russian or some...
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die!
Maybe it's gonna...
Just some stereotypically racist accent.
It's going to slip in some vaguely Eastern European accent. Maybe like, oh no, no, that's Dr. Doom's accent from Latveria, obviously. Obviously, that's a Latvian accent.
Dr. Doom?
Dr. Doom. Anyway, so here we're going to talk about 007, otherwise known as James Bond.
James Bond.
Yes, indeed.
We should be drinking martinis.
We should be.
Shaken, not stirred. But this is beer with geeks.
So, and which you can't shake because then the beer will not be good anymore.
That's not good.
No. Yeah. So, I'm going to stop talking every second.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm starting to hurt my mouth. And so for those of you who don't know who James Bond is, please stop listening to this podcast.
Go away.
Okay, but anyway, James Bond.
Don't go away, we love you.
Invented by Ian Fleming in 1953.
That is correct.
He is a rather old gentleman.
Yeah, well, he was.
He was an old gentleman.
Yeah.
And so,
or he would be.
And if you're Sean Connery, you're still quite old, but still very sexy. And so, anyway, it first appeared in a book, not a film. Common misconception, Casino Royale.
That is correct.
Fabulous book.
Have you read it?
I have, actually. I read it when the first movie came out. When by the first movie, Casino Royale,
okay.
Not Dr. No.
So you're older than you look.
All those martinis. That I don't drink and save me. And so, it's a good book. James Bond is quite different in the book than he is. It's quite different in the book than he is in the films. Daniel Craig is probably a little bit closer to his book counterpart than all the other Bonds probably put together.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to have this giant scar on his eye and like all the, not that Daniel Craig has a giant scar on his eye, but he's a little bit more brooding and shadowy, mysterious, and in almost not a charming way. Whereas, you know, you look at Sean Connery, the very first Bond, and you're like, I'll do whatever you want.
Suave.
You're just suave. You're awesome. You're wearing a flannel suit, and you look amazing.
Hold it off.
In the Bahamas. Like, how are you alive right
totally
now?
Totally comfortable.
Right. And so, but of course, the first Bond movie, as I said before, Dr. No, in 1963, I believe. And so we're talking of 1962. I'm sorry, 62.
Yeah.
And so we're talking a full almost 10 years after Bond really started in books, which is awesome. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Ooh,
Mr. Bond, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Let's see if you can answer them as quickly as you can. Boy. Skyfall. It's not a question.
I walk out.
Yeah.
Done.
I just watched that last night in preparation for this. It is a good
film. One of my favorite scenes from that film, too.
Yeah. I think the whole movie is my favorite scene from that film.
Yeah.
Just like every time a new scene would come back, oh no, this is the scene. This is my favorite.
This is my new favorite scene.
This one where he's staring at the mountains in Scotland. This is my favorite scene.
This is cool because he's just so awesome.
Because he's awesome. And so anyway, I want to ask, who was your first Bond? Because there are quite a few. And so who was your first one? Well, I'm going to say first, in no particular order, these are the Bonds.
Yes.
Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig, Sean Connery, Timothy Dalton, George Lazenby, Roger Moore. Did I miss one? I don't think so.
I don't believe you did.
No. Those are the Eon films, right. And so everybody else who has portrayed Bond in other versions of Bond, like the Spook Casino Royale and blah, blah, blah. And so David whatever Niven. Else. Right. What?
David Niven.
Was that David Niven?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was Peter Sellers?
Oh, you're correct. Peter Sellers was, but David Niven was in the film as well.
Oh,
you're right. Peter Sellers was... my first
or
Bond
was the Bond proto.
The Bond,
anyway. Anyway, so go ahead.
My first Bond was actually Daniel Craig.
Really?
Casino Royale was my first Bond film.
You had never seen a Bond film before Casino Royale, which was, I mean, you're talking 2006.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So let's backtrack a little bit. So. I've actually talked about this before, how I got started late in my film education.
Yes.
And I am self-educated.
Good for you. That's hard these days. Like,
yeah.
So many tests against you.
Totally. No, but I took an interest on my own in film. I didn't have family or friends who were really big into movies. I watched movies growing up, but it was like, oh, okay, here's like Disney movies because you're a kid and like... Oh, Star Wars is going to be on TV. You're a boy. You should like science fiction. So here's some Star Wars. Watch that.
Right.
So there's that kind of thing. But it wasn't. I was never like, oh man, I love movies, and here's a movie you should see. That was never really a thing in my household growing up. So came to that on my own as a teenager and realized I really love film. Like I love movies. I'm going to start educating myself. So we mentioned a few episodes ago where when we talked about Casablanca, how I kind of just went through the AFI list and watched a bunch of them. Bond was something that was always on my radar, but not something that I got around to watching at any point.
Interesting.
So
was this radar in your car, radar in your pen, radar in your shoe, or just
in my boat?
In your boat. Okay.
Yeah. So, but by the time that I that Casino Royale came out, I still had just not had the chance. I mean, there are just thousands of movies that I needed to see.
Right.
And it's not that one was any more important than the others, but we all have this. It's always like, I can't believe you haven't seen, any movie at all. Like, we've all not seen very popular films.
Everybody has had that moment.
And I happen to have not seen more than most people.
I got not cussed out the other day, but that's a bad word, but I have never seen Good Will Hunting from start to finish.
Okay,
I've seen the whole film in its entirety, just not in one sitting.
Yeah.
And so people are like, how could you not have seen that?
Right.
And I'm like, I technically have. All right.
Take it easy.
Okay. It's like commercial breaks.
Yeah.
But through months apart. All
right.
Right.
Right. Right. So that's similar. Yeah. That's similar to my experience. So I really had to go through and be very thorough and fill in as many movies as I could, but I couldn't watch everything, obviously. So 2006, Casino Royale comes out. I've loved action films. I've loved that type of character, that archetype.
Right.
It's been a long time.
It's got a great theme song too.
You
know my name. Yeah, oh, it's a great song. Yeah, Chris Cornell.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites. I've heard since all the 90s. But yeah, so I fell in love with that movie on first viewing in the theater. Have seen it many times since, but that was my first exposure to Bond. Yeah, and not through any, lack of desire to see any other Bond films. I just hadn't gotten a chance, and I am still working all the way through about my Bond education, but I'm most of the way through.
Yeah, that's how you said bondage education.
Bondage.
So that is a different thing.
Bondage education.
That's, I like, it's kind of, I like that your first movie was not only the reboot
yeah.
but the first story of Bond written. It's like yeah. a lot of firsts right at the beginning.
Yep.
And it's a strong way to start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, it definitely considered one of the primo Bond films.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
way, I mean, there have been quite a substantial amount of Bond films.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the fact that you saw a very good one, to start. I'm impressed. So you're working your way through. So how far are you? We just watched Moonraker. Is that your last one?
That's the most recent one.
That's the most recent one.
Which is
actually pretty far down the list.
Yeah.
Actually, Moonraker was 79. So you're talking Rush with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, Only Look Twice, Majesty's Secret Service, Diamonds Forever, Live and Let Die, Man with the Golden Gun, Spy Who Loved Me. It's film 11?
11 out of 23?
Sure.
24 is coming out soon? Or
yeah.
In a year or two?
Is it 20? No, it's 24. Yeah, about 24.
24, yeah.
24. Yeah, so that's actually quite substantial. So you've seen John Connery, and you've seen Roger Moore.
Yes, and George Lazenby.
Yes.
I have actually seen, I have seen some Pierce Brosnan as well, though.
Oh, okay, so you're kind of splattered in Spelunk. Okay.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Chris Nolan's director of the Dark Knight trilogy, Insomnia, Inception, all that fun stuff, his favorite Bond film is On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Really? That's interesting.
Widely considered one of the most boring of Bond films.
Yeah, I would say the film itself, I think it's going to be a theme in our discussion just based on what I know about you and my thoughts on Bond as well.
You don't know anything about me.
I really think that while the film itself is not among my favorites, Virgil Lazenby actually is not terrible.
No, he's actually quite a good Bond.
He is quite a good Bond. The film itself, not a favorite of mine.
No, it's not.
And I would not call Lazenby my favorite or among my favorites, but he, I think, gets a bad rap because the film was not so great.
I think that a lot of Bonds get bad raps just from the films that they're in. Like,
yeah.
Give Timothy Dalton a better script, and he would have been a much better Bond. Like, he was just a poor soul caught in 80s films. He was just stuck there. And
yeah, yeah.
He could have been a much better Bond, because you see him in other films. Doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You could watch him in The Rocketeer all the way to Hot Fuzz, and you could be like, you'd be a good Bond.
Yeah.
Like, you only already played him. You know, you're just so... So it's a bad rap. I think my first Bond was Pierce Brosnan.
Okay.
Though I have a vague... I mean, I can't remember what channel he used to be on. Pretty sure it was AMC used to do the Bond marathon.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was either Roger Moore, Sean Connery, or George Lazenby, or Timothy Dalton, for that matter, could have been any one of my first Bonds. But I'm not going to see GoldenEye in theaters. I don't remember seeing it in theaters. I remember watching it on VHS. VHS tape.
Good old days.
And I remember watching that in VHS tape, and I remember watching Tomorrow Never Dies on VHS tape, but I think my first Bond film in theaters going to see was World's Not Enough with Pierce Brosnan.
Ah.
Because the only way I connect this is that Robbie Coltrane, who, you know, Hagrid from the Harry Potter series, a connection. Harry Potter and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the only two franchises to top Bond's money-making. Total gross, thanks. And so Robbie Coltrane plays a Russian ex-KGB in GoldenEye and reprises that character in World's Not Enough. And so there's this existing relationship with them already, which I didn't know about. But I remember watching GoldenEye and going, hey, you're in World's Not Enough. I know you. Many drivers in that film too, for like the briefest of seconds.
Yeah.
But I remember being Bass, I think I saw that film 3 or 4 times in theaters, which, I mean, 2001, I was...
Yeah, you were pretty young.
12, 13, wow. Something like that, depending on when the film... It definitely came out in the summer, because it was the same summer that Episode 1 came out. It was Phantom Menace summer. It was a couple months later. And I remember going to the theater, because my friend had said, like, oh, they're putting... Phantom Menace back in theaters like a week or something like that. Let's go again
right.
for like the 10th time, right. whatever. And so I said, "Great." That's actually the friend that got me into Star Wars, but it's a conversation for a different day.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so we went, and either he was lied to, or the newspaper lied, or something, because it was not in the theater.
I was gonna say I don't remember that. I think
it was the days before the internet was a big deal. Yeah. So we were like, and our ride had already left because, of course, we're not driving; we're kids at this point.
It's 12. Yeah.
So it's like, well, what can we see? World's not enough. I guess I will see that for the third time, fourth time, fifth time, whatever. It's fine because it was the theater that my friend's aunt. Used to operate, so I used to go to the movies all the time. I'd see all these movies for free for years.
That's right. I vaguely remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I've seen movies that, because of that, I would never, ever have seen. I remember seeing Zoolander in theaters, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and The Animal with Rob Schneider, and Harry Potter, and Driven with Sly Stallone, and a whole bunch of stuff.
That explains a lot about you actually having such a large DVD collection and everything.
You're working at Blockbuster, you have that too. But
well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But you've always had that connection to film in one way or another.
Yeah, grew up on movies. And my parents certainly were not the, like, put you in front of the TV to stretch you up.
Right.
We were allowed, like, it was an hour of TV day.
Yeah.
I mean, now, well, we had cable, but it was like Nick at Night and some cartoons and PBS. So, So, I lost my train of thought. It was going to be good, I promise you.
Well, so that's how you saw The World's
Anyway,
Not
so yeah, so that's how I saw, times. So I saw World's Not Enough. I tried to rewatch it, last week. It's on HBO, I started it late, but I was maybe got 4 minutes into the movie, and I was like, I'm done now.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan was a great Bond.
Yeah.
He was great. I still maintain that. I just wasn't feeling it at the time. I know you've said this to me before, I have a hard time watching the older Bond movies. Just, not necessarily because they're bad, but because I have a hard time watching older films sometimes. Just pace-wise, they just kill me. It's just like, and now I'm here, and we're all old, even though we're just going to talk like that.
It's a very different kind of filmmaking, and it's a lot more like, look at all the grandeur of that. We're in this exotic place right now, and isn't
That's
this
true.
Amazing? And look at this, isn't it fascinating? All the natives here dress in a funny way, and talk the same way, and have... funny, like, different mannerisms because we're making racist assumptions and like, generalization. There's that sort
it's
of, like...
It's like old movies or comics where they're like, and they're in the nation of Africa.
No.
Oh, come on. No.
Yeah. And there's that kind of, like, a very old school, almost minstrel show look at these, like, look at these exciting locales where all the people, like, dress the same and look the same and talk the same. And have the same motivations.
And look, James Bond is in a suit amongst all of them.
Right, it's so true.
So, yeah.
So, you know, there is that. I mean, they literally had Sean Connery, you know, in a fake Chinese, like.
Yeah, he pretended to be Chinese.
Yeah,
and he got away with it.
Right, today
with his Scottish accent.
Right,
yeah.
And but like they made up his eyes and everything, and it was just very very offensive by today's standards.
Oh, so very offensive.
But even other things, even in Doctor No, there are some just like all the
you know, products of their time.
They are. That's exactly
they're products of their time, which is how we get Casino Royale.
And Skyfall. That's exactly the right answer. By the way, speaking of Casino Royale, this 1967 Casino Royale, it was David Niven.
It was David Niven.
But I did. But Peter Sellers is in the film. And as I was looking it up, I saw that actually Ian Fleming always wanted David Niven to play the role
of James Bond.
And
look how that film
turned out. And eventually it did. Of course, he was playing alongside Woody Allen and Orson Welles.
Christopher Walken. That's Christopher Walken. I don't know what I was going for. But speaking of Christopher Walken, he is a Bond villain. And
that is true.
With the horses. And it's a bad film. But it's Christopher Walken. And then he went on to do many things. Like Batman Returns and Hairspray.
Of all things.
And Sleeping Hollow, where he didn't speak at all. Right. And so, actually, I remember watching, it's a Roger Moore film. I think it's For Your Eyes Only, the movie with the horses.
Oh, yeah.
And so I remember watching that at my friend's house and being like, oh my god, this movie is so boring. And then Christopher Walken shows up and I'm like, oh my god, this movie is still so boring. It's about horses. I don't think there's nothing wrong with horses or horse racing or anything like that. That's the thing, go for it. But it just like did not feel like anything. I remember vaguely years and years ago my dad saying that his favorite Bond was Roger Moore.
Really?
I think my dad likes the less dramatic, more a little bit more whimsical side. And yeah, I mean, say what you will, Roger Moore had some of the coolest gadgets because they were going to that space age type.
Let's talk about Q Branch for a moment.
Let's. Yeah. You want to start?
Okay. So I'll start with saying that I've got a bit of a man crush on Q.
Really?
I think he's hilarious.
Old man Q.
Old man Q.
Okay.
I absolutely love everything about him. I think he's hysterical. I think he's... You want to talk whimsical. I mean, that the rapport that he had with, the first three or four Bonds.
Yeah, he wasn't in... Desmond Llewellyn wasn't in...
Llewellyn wasn't in
all of them. He didn't start...
He didn't start until, maybe Goldfinger?
Is it that far in? I don't know. From Russia, he has the rocket packing from Russia.
You're right.
So it's just the second film.
But even so, he's there from the second film all the way. He's there for most of them, with only a couple of exceptions, until we get to the Pierce Brosnan era.
Well, he's still in all of those.
Except for
the last one, but that's because he passed away.
Right, but he made his final appearance all the way. He made it. What I'm saying is, he made it all the way up to Pierce Brosnan before.
Yes, he
before
did.
And I believe in his last one, they knew that was going to be his last appearance.
Yes, they did. Well, I mean, they had a nice little send off for him and everything.
Yeah,
it's actually one of the people down that movie. People down that movie more than they should.
Yeah, it gets that.
The Bond girl's name is it's Denise Richards, and she's supposed to play like a nuclear physicist, and her name is Christmas. So I'm gonna give people some like, okay, this is not exactly the best.
Yeah,
but you also have to know. I mean, it's the tradition of the Bond films. I mean, all their names are weird.
Well, yeah,
that's part of the fun of the films.
There's a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's a lot.
I'm not even gonna bother going into them. It's not worth it.
Some crazier than others.
No. Q was in From Russia with Love, but he did not play Q. He was Boothroyd.
Oh.
I forgot about that. I had to look it up.
Okay.
So we can talk about Q Branch. I love Q Branch. I think part of my love of the Bond films, as much as I love the seriousness of this Daniel Craig era, I do love the humor of Bond films. Like, Q
queue. I don't know why. I don't know why I would need jam trousers. I've got to take them.
And then he always does need them.
He does. Q is probably psychic.
Do try to bring it back one piece this time. 007. You know, that, like that. That's my lunch.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big gadget guy. I love even when I was a little kid. I loved buttons and like all this stuff and whatever. And I remember when Tomorrow Never Dies came out. And he had the cell phone, which of course was a big deal, just as it is.
Oh, yeah.
But it flipped open, and you could drive the car with the cell phone, and it was amazing.
It's like Star Trek.
It's just like Star Trek, but I remember maybe a year or two later, they came out with a cell phone that did flip open like that.
Yep.
And I think it was a keyboard inside, but...
I want to say it was Motorola StarTech.
Ooh, the fact that you remember that is amazing to me.
I want
to
say that was it.
But I remember wanting that so bad. Oh, Not even to drive the car, just to
the
like...
Phone. Just the phone that flipped open.
The phone that flipped open. And then phones really did flip open all the time.
Yeah.
And now we're like, flip phones.
Wow.
I'll flip you off for your flip phone.
Ridiculousness.
Or flip me off with your flip phone or whatever. Yeah.
I do want to... let's talk for a moment about... favorite Bond songs, theme songs.
Ooh, there are so many.
No, 23 to be precise.
You're so clever.
I'm very clever. I'm a clever man. I mean, we've got. I mean, The Spy Who Loved Me. Right? Nobody does it better. You've got.
Could you sing it for me?
Nobody does it better.
That's a good song.
That's a great song. You've got Adele with Skyfall, which was
a hit for
months.
I'm not a huge Adele fan, and I do, like, I'm not like, I can't wait to listen to Adele.
Okay, yeah.
But I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's actually, because I watched it last night, the song has been in my head
all
day.
It's fantastic.
In the Skyfall. I'm going to stop now. Anyway.
We already talked about You Know My Name from Santa Maria, which is...
great song.
Contender for best. Do you have a favorite, though?
I think it actually might be... But to me, the song has to be as memorable as the movie. Like, it also worked in tandem.
Yeah.
And so, I'm going to say that it's Skyfall, just because it's been running through my head. But for years, my favorite film was Goldfinger.
Goldfinger!
Yeah, right. That song was great. Was it the Oscars that she sang that song at last year or something? Do you remember that?
Yes, it was the Oscars, 2013 Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The year Argo won. Yeah.
Yes, that was but that film, and I don't know why that film particularly, but you're almost a Bond, I Expect You to Die. Oh, maybe it was
classic.
Lasers. It's classic.
Classic.
And so, I think that one was my favorite for a long time. But Skyfall kind of nudged its way in, and it was just like, no, this movie has all the glory of the new and all the glory of the old.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
my favorite would have to be Live and Let Die.
And then, really?
I mean, I'm a huge Paul McCartney fan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and...
Sing that.
And I knew that song for many years before I'd ever seen the film. I grew up, you know... Like,
grew up listening to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, so I just knew it as a Paul McCartney fan and loved that song. I loved Wings. So that would have to be my favorite, and I've seen him perform that now 5 times live in concert, and it's fantastic every time.
Your life is so hard.
Charmed Life, I think.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It's always an event. That song is always arguably the highlight of every show he does, because there's pyrotechnics and fireworks every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually
James Bond style.
Quite a spectacle, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but that's my favorite. You know My Name, Chris Cornell.
Yep.
From, Casino Royale would be my number 2, and I think Skyfall a very close number 3.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have 2 questions.
Okay.
Favorite M?
Original.
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 Bernard Lee. Is that Bernard Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judi Dench is
is
obviously a
contender,
but old school.
It's funny, I was going to say Bernard Lee 2. But like every time, but I just like can't bring myself to be like, no, Judi Dench is the best because she's Judi Dench.
Judi Dench is amazing.
It would be like Julie Andrews is just she's not, you know, she's not good.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't like her in things. You know?
You can't.
And so Judi Dench is just great in whatever she does. Particularly now that, I mean, in this last film, like, she's practically blind and she's still doing this. One of the reasons that she died, actually, because she can't, she's got to retire soon.
Her acting days
coming to a close, sadly. I was close with Bernard Lee, but Judi Dench, well, I mean, she was also my, if I'm counting Pierce Brosnan, she was my first M. I grew up with Judi Dench. And so I want to say that. Okay, second question. Favorite Bond villain? Christopher Walken.
What are we talking? Christopher Walken is Woody Allen.
Or maybe it's Christopher Lee.
I do love Christopher Lee. I do think Blofeld is my favorite, though. And that's an easy out. But
it is an easy out. Because but he's the ultimate Bond villain.
He is the ultimate Bond villain.
That's good, though. I like that.
He is the ultimate Bond villain. I think to this day he is the most menacing, intimidating Bond villain. Although I would say that the villain from Skyfall is a pretty scary dude.
Mr. Silver.
Silva and
Silver. Silver. Is it Silva?
Silva. And Le Chiffre from Casino Royale is also quite menacing, especially when he's got Bond in that torture chair.
Oh, I forgot about that scene.
A little to the left.
Yeah.
gets me every time.
Those are good.
I mean, they're.
Those are good villain choices.
There are some excellent
ones. Jaws, not your favorite?
Jaws, I kind of can't help but laugh at Jaws in a way.
Silva. You're right, it is Silva. I looked it up.
I didn't find Jaws very intimidating. It's of its time. Yeah, it is.
Era. Roger Moore. I'm not able to call him right now.
You ever see that guy?
Like, no 3 days, Roger. That's the rule. I want to call him now. Damn it! I'm going to say my favorite is actually Alec Trevelyan. Mr. Sean Bean himself. Spoiler alert, he does die.
Different for him.
It's the first time, I think. No, not really. It's the first time I saw him die, anyway.
Okay.
I love betrayal from the inside stories, like good agent gone rogue, and that's what he is. And so that's you have a face that nobody else can see but me.
It's fine. I think for me I really did stick with Blofeld. Blofeld is, I think, the ultimate in Bond villainy.
The whole idea of secret espionage, evil espionage organization versus true one is just, it's awesome. I love that stuff. Super secret spy stuff that's not like that in real life. I always wonder, I'm like, you watch these films and then you're like, I want to like watch a movie with real spies.
Yeah.
Like, what's that like?
Right.
And then I always think of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is like the most intense scene in that movie is Benedict Cumberbatch like sneaking a file out of it. Like, that's the most intense scene in the whole
movie. That's hilarious. Like,
will it get the file out of the room? We don't know.
Tune in next time to find out. And actually, I think that does pretty much bring us to a close.
Fabulous.
So excellent. I think they should tune in next time.
You should tune
in. To find out what our next topic will be.
Oh, marvelous. I'm going to end this by saying 007. Are you ready to accept your mission?
Yes, I am. Let me get into my Aston Martin and drive away.
Fabulous.
We'll see you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.